The new American Weekly brings you Front Page Drama.
If you should make a slip, what more natural after having amnesia, forgetting everything for 5 years?
You sound as if you believe this yarn you've made up.
I do believe it, and the old man will believe it, too. Now, here, put on this locket. You've got to start believing it right now.
And so the daring plan was made. A plan that would lead the girl to wealth and happiness, or be the ruin of 2 lives. Listen now to Front Page Drama, presented by the new American Weekly, the great magazine distributed with the leading Sunday newspaper in this city. Our story opens in a small, respectable dance hall not far from Broadway, where young couples may inexpensively whirl to their heart's content, and a lonely man may hire a partner for a modest fee if he behaves himself. A slim, pretty girl with a halo of yellow hair looked up into the dark, gloomy face of her partner and said,
"Look here, Mr. Wyman. If it's true your name's Stan Wyman and your great-uncle is a rich man in Forestville, Connecticut..."
"It's true."
"Ever since you followed me in here a week ago, you've been back every night to dance with me, staring as if you'd seen a ghost."
"I have. A ghost I mean to bring to life."
"Never mind that double talk. What are you after? Now that you've pumped me to find out I can't remember my parents and was brought up by an aunt and uncle on a horrible New Jersey farm and ran away the minute I was old enough, well, what's it to you?"
"Except that you're an actress working here at Flowerland between jobs, I don't believe a word of it. Leslie?"
"I tell you, my name's Tess Elder. Now, I should know."
"You should know that your name is Leslie Blair, that you lived on your grandfather's estate in Forestville."
"Oh, goody. Tell me lots of fairy tales."
"Until you were 15. Then 5 years ago..."
"At least 5 years ago, I was 15.
"One morning, you started out for a visit to New York, but you never got there. The train collided with another. There was a horrible wreck. People killed, but your body was never found."
"For Pete's sake, quit talking as if it really was me."
"But you are Leslie, at 20. The same features, same coloring, same trick of laughing with your head to one side. Even now, I can hardly believe my eyes when I look at you."
"All right, so I'm just like the poor kid. So what?"
"So you're going to..." "Now, come on. Let's go someplace where we can talk." At first, her grandfather refused to believe that she was dead, kept insisting, hoping that somehow, sometime, she'd be found. I've a notion he still hopes so. And when he sees you wearing this gold locket...
"Oh, how lovely. Why, I've never seen one like it."
"Well, there's never been one like it. The old man had a design for her. There's a snapshot of him inside. Go ahead, take a look at it."
"Oh, he's just precious. I love a face like that."
"She was wearing it the morning when she started out. I was standing by the car and saw the locket slip to the ground without her noticing it. The clasp broke. I picked it up, meaning to give it to her when she came back. And then I thought it would make Uncle Charles feel all the worse if I showed it to him. So I've just kept it ever since."
"You must have been awfully fond of her."
"Yes, I thought a lot of Leslie. But more of Uncle Charles. I've always wished I could do him a good turn, and now I can."
"But it's cheating. I'd feel so mean deceiving
him." "But you'll be doing no harm. You're not robbing anybody. You can grab off a swell life for yourself and make a lonely old man supremely happy. Now think of that side. It's what I care about."
"But I wouldn't know how to act or what to say."
"Look, I'll brief you. If you should make a slip, what more natural after having amnesia, forgetting everything for 5 years?"
"You sound as if you believe this yarn you've made up."
"I do believe it, and the old man will believe it too. Now here, put on this locket. You've got to start believing it right now." "If you could just see your Uncle Charles, you'd be as excited as I am."
"You say this girl so resembles Leslie."
"I just don't think two people could look so alike."
"If she were thrown clear of the wreck, suffered a blow on the head that left her unconscious for days... Yes, it's possible. Just barely possible."
"Besides, sir, who but Leslie could be wearing that gold locket?"
"Yes, the locket."
"She says that when she looks at the snapshot of you, she has, well, sometimes a flash of memory, a certainty that she's known and loved the person it shows. That she once knew a big white house with pillars. But the harder she tries to break through the fog, the more the memory eludes her."
"And that could be, too."
"Well, I thought if you'd let me bring her here, if she is Leslie, the sight of you and her home might bring back her memory. If it doesn't, well, I'm wrong. But I know you couldn't be fooled. Nor old Deems either, for that matter.
Very well. Bring the girl to me tomorrow.
Miss Leslie, upon my word. Mr. Blair, sir.
Yes, Mr. Blair. Deems, what ails you?
It's Miss Leslie, sir. Miss Leslie has come home.
And so the little actress, Tess Elder, with a convincing story of having for 5 years forgotten who she was, comes back, carefully coached for weeks by Stan Wyman, to take her place in old Mr. Blair's heart and home as his granddaughter. Listen in a moment when the New American Weekly brings you the surprising conclusion to this front-page drama. With national elections just around the corner, the great New American Weekly in the coming issue is presenting a special article about a very special person. She's Mrs. Adlai Stevenson, divorced wife of the Democratic candidate for president. And in this timely and informative feature, writer Eleanor Harris satisfies public curiosity about what kind of woman Ellen Borden Stevenson really is. You'll be interested in Mrs. Stevenson's answers to reporters' questions regarding the chances of a remarriage or how she's going to vote this fall. Be sure to read this fascinating article along with many others coming your way in next week's great new American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. Now back to our front-page drama. A few weeks later, we find old Mr. Blair playing cribbage before the fire with the girl he has accepted as Leslie.
15-2, 15-4, and a pair is 8. That puts me out.
Oh, dear. Well, someday I'm going to beat you at cribbage or a poker or something.
Well, we might make a poker player out of you at that. You can be pretty deadpan when you like, I've noticed. Still want to be an actress, Leslie? As a kid, you know you wanted to.
Oh, heavens, no, never. Not anymore.
I think you could be. You can make your face express what you want it to. Except for your eyes. They tell tales, my dear.
My eyes tell tales?
Oh, take last night when you were seeing me through that bout of sciatica. Oh, not that Deems couldn't have done it as well and let you sleep. You look very gay and casual, except for your eyes. Tortured with fear and worry.
I was worried and afraid. You suffered so.
But I always pull through. Sciatica never killed anybody.
Well, I hate it anyhow. Shall we play more cribbage, Granddaddy, or shall I read to you?
No, where the devil is Deems?
Never mind, I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Tess. I've got to see you at once.
Oh, this is Leslie, Stan. Come on over, we're both at home.
No, come out to the bench by the oak tree. Don't tell where you're going either, and hurry up.
But, Stan, I... Hello? Be back in a minute, Granddaddy.
All right, my dear.
Stan, what is it? You haven't been here for days.
The old man gave me the brush off last time I came. But everything's fine for you, thanks to me. Now it's time you kicked in.
Of course, Stan, if you're in trouble,
I'm in money trouble. You've got to get me $1,000 by Saturday.
But I can't ask him for money to give to you.
You can ask him for money. Dear Granddaddy can't refuse you anything. I hear he's changed his will, made you his heir. You're fixed for life, and you'll see that I am, too. If you know what's good for you. You'll get me that $1,000 and anything else I want. Why else do you think I went to all that trouble?
You brought me here just so I could get hold of his money.
Now, don't play dumb. What do you think?
I thought you wanted to make him happy. That's what you said. And it has made him happy. He looks 10 years younger. And I'm so fond of him, just as you said you were.
I don't care a plugged nickel for that old goat.
How could I have been such a fool?
Well, don't be a worse one now. You get me that $1,000 for a starter, or I'll call upon Uncle Charles, apologize humbly for being taken in by you, and show him proof that you're no more Leslie Blair than I am. I don't think I haven't got proof. I took care of that in case you reneged, but you won't. Now go on in there and talk to Uncle Charles.
All right. I will.
Bless my soul, what's the matter, Leslie? You're white as a sheet.
Well, I've been talking to Stan. He,
Wants money, I dare say.
If I don't give him $1,000 by Saturday, he'll tell you that... I'm not Leslie. I'm just a not very good actress. My name is Tess Elder. When he met me in New York and saw how much I looked like Leslie, he He persuaded me. Oh, please, Mr. Blair, try to forgive me. It was such a temptation. I was so hard up. And he told me it was just because he wanted to make you happy. I was so dumb, I never dreamed that he...
That he meant blackmail.
No, no, I could never do a thing like that. And would you please always remember that these past weeks have been just heaven. I've never before in all my life had anybody that belonged to me, that I could love. There's only one thing I'd like to beg of you, and then I'll go away.
What's that?
If I could just keep this gold locket as a remembrance of the only real home I've ever had.
Well, so Sten finally got round to putting the screws on.
What did you say?
You sit down here on this stool at my feet, as you always do, while I have my say. When Sten came to me with this preposterous story, I don't think I've ever been so mad in my life. Of course, I didn't believe a word of it. When I told him to fetch you here, I meant to tell you both off and send you packing. But when you came with your yellow hair and your big brown eyes, my Leslie to the life, it was as though the Lord had made you so like her to brighten an old man's life. And I don't believe the devotion you've shown could be pretense.
Oh, no. No, never.
As I grew fonder of you, I can't tell you how I hoped that when Stan did put the screws on, you'd do just what you have done. So I may keep you here with me always.
Granddaddy, I'm so glad you knew.
Now, of course I knew. My granddaughter wasn't wearing that locket when she went to her death. Sten didn't see me come down off the porch to watch her go, but I saw him stoop down and pick the locket up and put it in his pocket. Now, let's go out into the garden together and tell young Sten where he gets off.
And so ended the story of Tess Elder, who met the searing test of truth and earned her right to happiness. This has been another front page drama presented by the New American Weekly. Naturally, real names have not been used. Prominent among the many fascinating features which everyone will find absorbing reading in the coming issue of the great New American Weekly is an article called On Trial for Love. Written by Gloria von Heiberg, it tells her story, the story of a gripping courtroom drama that was staged in St. Louis. The principals in this drama were the law versus an American girl, a girl who had lost her heart to an enemy soldier. Be sure to read this engrossing story of an American girl who answered guilty to the charge of harboring an enemy of her country, but who claimed that she was really guilty only of love. It's coming your way in next week's issue of the Great New American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city.